All right, everybody. A little note at the top of this new episode. I was doing a live stream while I was recording this episode, and I was responding to comments, and a troll came into the stream, as frequently happens whenever I talk about anything political in my live streams. It's so interesting. Like, I do live streams a lot on TikTok Live, where I'm just hanging out with people and just sort of shooting the shit. And sometimes I sing karaoke songs. It's a fun time if you've never been to one. Sometimes we have a good time over there. But the second I'm talking about something that's politically charged, these people come out of the woodwork and they show up. And I don't know how they find me, but a lot of them tell me, because I've spoken to some of these people one-on-one later on. Like, we'll wind up in each other's DMs, as toxic and unhealthy as that sounds. But they'll tell me, they'll be like, yeah, you just showed up in my FYP, which makes me think that the TikTok algorithm is deliberately showing these people my live streams when they get politically charged, because they know that it will create, I don't know, engagement. I don't know. It's weird. That's all I'll say. It's weird. I've already talked a lot on this show about how algorithms are weird. But what I wanted to say at the top of the episode is, this person does succeed in derailing my focus a little bit down the stretch of the episode, and sort of hijacks the episode a little bit. And I think I would have edited it out, but I found out after I was done recording the episode that this wasn't just a run of the mill troll. This person was actually a verified account on TikTok with close to 3 million followers. So this isn't just like a random, faceless, anonymous person from the internet who has a username that's like user 467892 and no profile picture. This is a verified account on TikTok, and it sort of goes along with what I'm saying in this episode, that people on the opposite side of this issue and of political issues that a lot of the people who listen to this podcast have, they talk about this stuff with their audience, and they go around and they preach their ideas. And I guess I'm just saying that like, if the Tucker Carlsons of the world are out there, and if this guy who was in my comments on this live, are if he's out there doing his thing, and again, I don't think it's really about, I'm becoming more and more convinced that it's not necessarily about changing minds. I think that there are certain minds that are sort of undecided and on the fence, and those people show up from time to time too. I see those people in my comments, people who aren't really sure where they sit on certain issues, and I do think that in those cases it can be about offering a really clear, good argument for those people. But more often than not, it's not really about changing the mind of this guy who showed up in my live to troll the live. He's not a person who seems open at all to having his mind changed. Like, that's not why he's there. He didn't show up in the live stream to see if I had a good argument that could sway him. He showed up to stir shit up, and he did it. He succeeded in what he did, and I wish I hadn't let him succeed so thoroughly. I was upset and emotional. I still am over what happened, over the shooting, and I think seeing that person and his bad takes just sort of got to me. And you'll hear that emotion on this episode. But I think that it just goes along with what I'm talking about in this episode of, like, I still am not sure if somebody like me needs to be speaking up when stuff like this happens. But I do think that, I don't know, like, I see that there is resilience and power on the other side. There are people who are... It's a minority opinion. Like, it's being both anti-abortion and being both like pro-Second Amendment and anti-gun reform. These are unpopular positions, but yet somehow these people are managing to influence policy and influence lawmakers in a way that we are struggling to do. So I think that it just goes along with what I'm saying in this episode. I'll let you hear more about that in the episode. I just wanted to sort of give that precursor here at the top. Okay. Enjoy this brand new episode of People Pleaser. All right. Oh my goodness. We are live not only on YouTube, we are live on TikTok, and we're back with another episode of People Pleaser with Austin Archer from a Blanketfoot recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. It's People Pleaser, dude. I'm Austin Archer, and it's been so long. This is wild. It honestly hasn't been that long, but it feels like forever. It's been like 6, maybe 7 weeks of hiatus, which isn't that crazy. If this was a TV show, if this was your favorite show on Netflix and I went away for 7 weeks, you would be fine with it. You'd be like, that only 7 weeks? 7 weeks till the next season? Podcasts were so conditioned to be like, every week or I'm out. Every week or I'm out. Every podcast that you like that lasts a long time is into like the thousands of episodes. Podcasts that have been around since like 2013, they're on like episode 2,500. That's insane. I did over 100 episodes. You know, I did over 100 episodes. Did like 115 episodes before I took a break. I don't know if I'm fully back. I don't know if we're back to weekly episodes. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know if we're back to weekly episodes yet. I don't have like guests lined up to be in here. I got the Blanketfoot recording studio looking all nice, dude. I got it looking all good. I got it ready for guests to come in here. I got cameras in here, really nice HD cameras. Well, I don't know if that's what they call it, HD or like DSLR cameras, really nice cameras, and I can't figure them out. And that's part of the reason why the podcast hadn't come back yet is because like I wanted this video element. So for now, I'm still on YouTube. I'm still on my laptop camera, which is fine. It's not great, but it'll do in a pinch. We got Everett over here who's on the YouTube stream and the TikTok stream. That's really doing it. Let's get right into it. I want to get into what I want to talk about. It's Tuesday, May 24th, and America's doing what America does, my friends. Oh, geez, you know, what I actually want to talk about. So we are going to talk about the latest shooting that happened today. But what I've wanted to talk about, I have a question that's sort of been scratching at my mind for a while now. I tried to make a video about it for TikTok, and it just was like I couldn't get at it in 3 minutes, and I even made it a two-parter, and I couldn't quite get at it in 6 minutes. I couldn't get at it in two parts of two long videos. The question revolves around, it was hard for me to distill it down. The question revolves around the idea of online branding and niche making. So what I mean by that is like when people are trying to build an audience online, build an audience on the internet, or build an audience in general, these days for their art, whether it's music or whether they're just a political commentator or whether they're an actor, an impressionist, a voiceover artist, a contortionist, a roller skater, a skateboarder, whatever it is, you are encouraged to find a brand for yourself, find a niche and stick to it. You're encouraged to establish yourself as a certain kind of creator, as a certain kind of person and stick to it. And there's capitalistic incentives for people to do that. It seems there's algorithmic incentives. It seems like the algorithm on a lot of these places, on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, they like it if they can define you. This isn't something that's really new to the internet either. This has always existed. Show business in general has always liked to distill people down. Like, what are you? Are you a dancer? Are you an actor? Are you a singer? Are you a director? Are you a writer? And just try to pick one of those things and zero in on that. I'm sure you have a lot of things that you want to do. I'm sure you have a lot of things that you want to be considered as. But try to pick one that we can sell you as, that we can market you as. I promise this is going to tie in to what happened today, to the shooting. I promise that this is going to tie in. But we want to be able to clearly define people. It's not a new invention of the internet era. What it is in the internet era, I'm noticing, is it's getting more and more specific, more and more hyper-specific. Whereas before it might have been director, writer, actor, dancer, singer, that kind of thing. Now it's like your niche can be so specific that you're a person who does a daily rant while folding laundry. and that's your niche. And it's that hyper specific. Is like the type of video that you make is I fold laundry while doing a rant about something that's on my mind for the day. You know, your niche could be a guy who chops wood and comes up and says like little truisms into the camera after chopping wood. And that can be how hyper specific your niche is. Your niche can be that you're a guy who stitches videos of people doing tasks that should be simple, but making them harder than they are, and then doing the task and showing how simple it is and going like this. And for the podcast audience, for the listening audience, I just did the, do you know the guy, what's his name? Is it Kwame? What's his name? The guy that does this face. Tell me in the comments. I can't show the podcast audience what it is. It's like you look at the camera and you go like, how are you not getting this? It's so easy. It's so easy. Kaby? K-H-A-B-Y, is that his name? Kaby? K-H-A-B-I, someone else is saying? Anyway, the point is, in the internet era, your niche can become hyper, hyper, hyper specific. Something that I think a lot of friends that I have who do this, who are internet content creators and are performers, musicians, actors, comedians, I think one of the things that they criticize me for a lot is that they're like, you need to pick something, man. Like are you going to be a podcaster? Are you going to be an actor? Is that what you're doing? Are you a comedian? I would never call myself a comedian. People call me a comedian. I feel like in order to be a comedian, you need to like be doing stand-up. Those are the only people that I feel comfortable calling comedians. But it's like, I am doing comedy on here, but I'm jumping around. I'm not sticking to a niche. And I also know that like, there might be algorithmic consequences for that. I might be struggling to get consistent views or plays on my videos because the audience that comes to me maybe comes to me for one of those hyper-specific reasons. They come to me because they found one of my funny music videos that I did, like a musical clapback on someone, and they were like, I like that. That's what I want from this white mustache guy is musical clapbacks. That's what I want to come to this channel for is I want to watch him do musical clapbacks. And then when I don't do that, when I do something that's maybe more serious or when I'm just doing my skits where I'm playing two characters or anything that's politically charged, maybe they're like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. And then there's other people who are like, I came here because I saw you making a political take that I really agreed with. You said something that really spoke to me that was articulated in a way that I've always wanted to say. You sort of had an argument with yourself that's very similar to conversations I have with myself in the shower. I related to it, and that's what I'm here for. And then they see me like doing goofy videos where I'm like making fun of a movie that's in theaters or something, and they're like, eh, not really my thing. I don't really care about that. So you see, like, there is an incentive for creators, both algorithmically, capitalistically, and also just like when it comes to developing their relationship with their audience, to find a niche, find a brand, and stick to it. The reason I'm setting it up like this is I want to say, like, I get it. To any of my friends who are creators who might listen to this episode of the podcast, or who might watch this on YouTube, who think this is like a call out, it's not. I get it. I get why you find your lane and you stay in it. I get it. And I even see them maybe doing better than me in certain areas, and maybe that's why, is that they find a niche and they're able to stick to it more. I can't shake this feeling, though, that I have every time that this happens, that something terrible happens. Because look, I've got, just like I think a lot of content creators have, we have a demand to be making content daily. Like, I make videos every single day. I put videos on the internet every single day. I've got a list right now in my notes folder of all the videos that I was supposed to shoot this week. And all of the, like, I've got a few songs that I'm working on, and I've got a bunch of new sketch ideas. And if like, I hopefully try to bang two or three of those out a day so that I have them at the ready. I've got three or four in the can right now. I've got like several funny videos in the can. I was making a bunch of funny content. I was trying to like be funny this week. And what happens is I try to move in a specific direction. I try to sort of like hit a specific note for a week. And I open up my phone and 18 kids are dead. And I just can't for the life of me figure out how I can conscionably try to be funny or not talk about it or not say something. I think that having an audience is a fucking privilege. Is just a lucky thing. I don't know how it happened. I've been trying, and somebody in the comments just said 19. I feel like the number goes up every single time I check. I'll have to double check that number, but my God. I think this is the thing that makes some people not like my channel. It's like I can't be funny on days like today. And I know a lot of my funny friends on the internet who are funny content creators, what they do is they just like go away for a few days. They're like, well, I'll see everybody in a couple days and I'll have like a joke that is politically charged, that's like biting at the right, that is taking money from the NRA and stuff, but like it's still funny and I can still stay in my niche. And I'm not begrudging anyone for that. Like I said, I get it. I get staying in your lane and staying in your niche, and I really do get it. But like, I wanted to make funny content today. That's what I wanted to make. I wanted to shoot some funny videos. I have a list of videos I gotta be working on. And yeah, somewhere along the way, I was making funny videos for just my friends and family in 2015 to 2020. For just a small group of people, and somehow I saw that people were jumping on TikTok, and I had a video pop off, and I was furloughed from work because of the pandemic, and I decided to go hard on TikTok, and I was lucky enough to get an audience, and now I'm sitting here with an audience. I'm sitting here with people who show up to hear what I have to say. I'm sitting here with people who listen to my podcast, even though it's been on hiatus. We're back now. I hope that if the Blanket Fort Nation is back, man, I love you for hanging with me through the hiatus. But I just feel like having your attention is something I don't want to take for granted. I feel like your attention is valuable and matters. It matters that you give your attention to somebody that you, and look, so maybe you don't follow a particular creator to hear their takes on stuff like this. Maybe that's it. Is there certain people that you follow that are funny, that make you laugh every day, and you don't want to hear them get serious like this? Maybe you're like, I would rather that person just stay funny. I just know that I've got a lot of friends who are in the content creation game, who are in the entertainment industry, who are talented directors, writers, musicians, comedians, actors, who it seems don't feel very comfortable saying anything when stuff like this happens. And again, this isn't a call out. I get it. I get why. But I know that they feel similarly to me. I know that privately, if I talk to these people privately, they're heartbroken and they're devastated and they're confused and they're scared and they're angry. And they're frustrated, and they also feel the same sense of paralysis that many of us feel. Like, well, what am I supposed to do? And I just can't help but shake the idea that, like, well, somebody with an audience, somebody with over a million people following their channel has at least more of something they potentially can do than somebody without that. You know, all of us have things that we potentially can do. Maybe we're in a position to donate to somewhere that's working on getting common sense gun law reform passed. I don't know. Maybe you can show up to a march somewhere in your town. Maybe you can just, I don't know, but I feel like it's something I can do. But I guess the question in my head that's been bouncing around in my head is like, do we need all of these people to say something? Or, I mean, I go on Twitter and it's not like there's any shortage of people saying stuff. It's not like there's any shortage of people on the internet saying stuff. You know, there's enough people saying stuff. There's enough people speaking up. There's enough people expressing their outrage and expressing their frustration and expressing their heartache. Do you need somebody like me also saying it? You know, like, I don't know. I don't know. I get a lot of people when I do stuff like this who say, like, cool, I get your point, I agree with you, but you're not going to change many minds, just so you know. Like, the people who disagree with you aren't going to be swayed by this. Is the point to change minds? Like, maybe the point isn't to, like, change the minds of somebody who's like dyed in the wool, Second Amendment. You're going to take my guns from my cold dead fingers. Like, you are not going to take my guns from me. I will die on this hill, very literally. I'm not going to change their minds, but maybe what I can do by speaking up while I have an audience, while I have the privilege and the luck and the good fortune to find myself with people who want to listen to what I want to say for whatever reason, maybe I have the ability to galvanize some people, to galvanize some movement, to be a small part of getting some movement in the right direction. Somebody who's feeling paralyzed by this, who's feeling the paralysis, who's feeling the hopelessness of it, can hear a message maybe from someone that they follow, that they see on a daily basis, that's sort of like a constant companion with them there in their phone, on their feed, and they see something and they go, you know what? Yeah, that makes me feel like maybe it gives hope. I don't know. Maybe it offers solidarity. I don't know. Or maybe it's just pissing in the wind, you know? I don't know. And, you know, I'm making it sound like I'm the only person on the internet with a platform who steps outside of his niche and says stuff when serious things happen. Of course I'm not. Somebody in the comments said, I think of John Oliver and his content. Yeah, there's all kinds of people, big people with big platforms, Seth Meyers, John Oliver, big, big, big platforms who aren't afraid to get serious and who can still find a way to make it funny too sometimes, you know? So it's not like we're also like lacking in that. I don't know, like, I'm thinking about what keeps people from speaking up. I have so many funny friends. It's mostly like funny people on the internet who, like, their silence is deafening every time stuff like this happens. And I get it that they're like, I don't know how to be funny today. I don't know what to say that's funny. And it's like, I just wish that we, as the consuming audience, as the market, had more space to be like, it's okay, you can like be vulnerable today. You can just be mad today. You don't need to be funny today. You don't need to have a joke ready, you know? You don't need to have like a new song about it if you're a music. Like, you don't need to be like promoting your song today. You can talk about what happened today. But then I go back to like, maybe there's already enough people talking. Maybe talk is cheap. Maybe we don't need just more people talking. I'm just thinking about people specifically with a platform, people specifically with an audience who don't feel like they can speak up because they're stymied by the confines of their hyper-specific niche or brand. Does that make sense? We got people here on YouTube, and we've got people here on TikTok. Let's check out the comments. Somebody here said the NBA coach Steve Kerr used his platform today. I saw that. I thought that was awesome. That's exactly right. Is sometimes when athletes or coaches speak up about stuff like this, we like a common idiom we hear is shut up and dribble. I don't watch the sports to hear your political opinions. Undoubtedly, there are people who saw Steve Kerr in that press conference and thought, who the hell cares what you think? You're an NBA coach. Go out and coach the game. I'm watching the game tonight not to hear your thoughts on gun control, but I'm watching the game to see if the Dubs sweep the Mavs. I thought Steve Kerr was right on point and had the exact right perspective, that he was like, who really cares? We're going to go out and play the game, but who cares? People are going to say, go Dubs, go Mavs. Who cares, though? Kids are dead, and I'm sick of this. And I thought Steve Kerr was right on. I thought that to use his press conference pregame for that instead of breaking down the game plan was spot on. But there are people who will say, that's not his place. Shut up and coach. Shut up and dribble. Is that the move? Somebody in my comments on TikTok just said, Steve Kerr's dad was killed by gun violence when he was 19. That explains the very real emotion he showed in that interview. I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that. That explains the very real and palpable emotion. Caleb on YouTube says, yeah, silence can be a killer. I know that there's plenty of voices speaking up. I've been on Twitter all day long. I know that there are plenty of people. I know that there are plenty of comedians and writers and musicians and actors and people who have a specific brand speaking up. I've seen it. I'm not suggesting that the solution to all of this is if all of us just spoke up, surely we would get common sense gun law reform. That's definitely not what I'm saying. I'm not intending to be anywhere near that reductive about an issue this complex and an issue this frustratingly pesky and resilient. Man, this issue in America has a way of just like not just being so resistant to anything. Brave Dave on TikTok says, if we never said anything about anything important, we would be chastised for not using our platform. That's another suit. So that's also it is like sometimes stuff like this happens. And I think, what should I say? Like I said, I had a whole stack of funny videos I wanted to make. And then this happens and I go, okay, do I have to make a video about that? Then I also have this idea of like, ew, gross. Is it just content now? Is that what it is? It's just content. Okay, my content focus for the week is shifting. Now I'm going to make 4 or 5 videos about this because that's, and is it just, and is there a part of my ego that's like, that's how I'm going to get views this week? Is that's what everyone's going to be talking about? So I'm going to be in the trending stream. So that holds me back and makes me go like, I don't know if I want to get involved then. But I have this thought with what Brave Dave just said, which is, well, if I don't speak up when stuff like this happens, I feel like I'm kind of abusing the gift and the privilege of this platform that I've been given. It feels like a misuse of some small modicum of power that I've been getting. Like, I don't even want to say power, that seems so weird, but that's what it is. It's like, it's some small modicum of like some ability to do something. And maybe it's just a personal thing that I just feel like you can't have a certain amount of people who are paying attention to you and not say anything when stuff like this happens. Like, you should. But me, is take my identity too, as like a white, straight, cisgender man, I really feel like, man, like to have a platform and to just like not be involved in stuff like this. I don't know. Again, I don't want this to be a call out on people who don't do it. You know, like I get it. But there is that other thing too of like when sometimes I think I should shut up and I should pass the mic to somebody else. But like Dave said, then I'm worried that people are going to say, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've got this platform. How come you're not saying anything? And again, as though like me saying something is going to magically get common sense gun law reform and gun laws passed. As though me saying something is going to change Alito's mind on overturning Roe v. Wade. You know? I do it because I can't imagine not doing it. I do it because I feel compelled to utilize this platform in some way to try to help in some marginal way. But I don't know. You could call some legislators, says Dogfarts 666420. Great screen name. Thanks for bringing the levity into the chat with the screen name. But I also see what you're saying. Yeah. Call legislators, donate, go to marches, vote. Stephen King tweeted earlier today, 2 days of Twitter outrage isn't enough. In the fall, vote for gun law reform. And I quote tweeted him and I said, what does that mean, though? Which party are we talking about? Because I know we're not talking about the Republican Party when we talk about vote for gun law reform. But in the near 25 years since Columbine, what have Democrats accomplished? And I get it. I get that most Democratic lawmakers are willing to vote for common sense gun law reform. But why is it so hard for Democrats to get anything effective done? And do they understand how apathetic that makes voters when they're incapable of taking meaningful action on a problem that is this persistent and this existentially galling? The Jewel guy just said in the comments on TikTok, we need to vote for actual leftists. Dems will not make any gun reform. God, it's like really quickly on all this stuff, it really starts getting really hopeless, right? This is what happens, is the spiral of this conversation. because pretty quickly you get to there where it's like, cool, both of the parties that I'm presented as options don't seem to be able to do anything. The Democrats seem willing but incapable to push hard enough or play dirty enough to like just ram it through, or maybe even secretly are like okay with it not going through because they fear the gun lobby. I don't know. But when I hear we need to vote for actual leftists, Democrats won't get anything done, I tend to agree that I don't trust that Democrats will be able to get anything done. But I don't see America shifting away from the two-party focus anytime soon. Every time election time comes, like when stuff like this happens, you hear vote over and over again. Get out and vote. Stay mad. Get out and vote. But I'm like, we voted for the people who are supposed to be taking care of the problem. At least the only option that we have of the two. I understand that there are hypothetically other options out there. Patrick Sunburn says, not until they take the money out of politics. Boy, I mean, God. And again, I'm spiraling into hopelessness because it's like, yeah, uh-huh, definitely. How do we do that? How do we do it? I had a conversation with a friend today who's been conservative most of his life, and he told me that he 100% supports common sense gun law reform. A lot of conservatives that I know support common sense gun law reform. It's incredibly popular. It's an incredibly popular thing. He actually supports a lot of fairly liberal policies. But he was like, he goes, listen, I think Republicans have lost their minds. I think they're absolutely insane. I think they've completely lost their minds as a party. But I also think that a lot of policies that Democrats come up with are really, really stupid. And I said, like what? And he goes, like raising the minimum wage. Like, it just look at inflation. And I'm like, dude, that mindset, the mindset of blaming the lowest earners in the economy for inflation, like looking at the high gas prices and inflation and going like, well, if those super, super poor people, the poorest people in our society, didn't need $15 an hour, we would have lower gas prices. As though that's a reasonable solution, is like putting the onus on them instead of saying the onus has to be with the top earners, the greed of the top earners who aren't willing to pay their employees more and understand that it's going to cut into profits, but that they're going to be okay. And that they don't need to raise prices to make up for those losses and profits. They're going to be okay. But how do we do that? Just like taking money out of politics, how do we do that? How do we get the people with all the power to do that? So this goes back to my original thing, is like, it's the reason why I'm like, why I think that people with an audience, people with any kind of influence, people with any kind of ability to galvanize or affect an audience should try their best to get us activated. I don't know if I'm capable of doing it, but I do know that like I feel like silence isn't an option. Ugh. Somebody, David on YouTube says, I hate both side-isms so friggin' much, especially in times like this. Definitely. And I hope it doesn't sound like I'm doing a both side-ism where I'm going, both sides are really letting us down. I tweeted a lot today. And another thing I tweeted today was I said, we really need to drop the argument of which side is more extreme in this country. That's been a common thread lately. Elon Musk has been pushing this narrative a lot of like, the left keeps getting more and more extreme. And it's been a common thing that people, talking heads like Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh and these types have been pushing for a long time, is the left keeps getting more and more extreme. It's so insulting and embarrassing to have that conversation in America today. The right wing, the radical right wing, is routinely murdering citizens and children in the name of a white homeland. And the left is sometimes kind of annoying when advocating for more inclusive language. They're not even remotely comparable. They're not in any sane universe remotely comparable as being equally extreme. We are dealing with literal white supremacist terrorism in the homeland versus like sometimes this person's a little pushy and annoying when they want me to use the right pronouns. They're not the same thing, even in the slightest. So I want to make sure that it's clear that I am not trying to use a both-sidism, even when I talk about Republicans and Democrats. Because when it comes to just the basic party principles, yeah, Republicans have lost their collective damn minds. They've completely lost their minds. Democrats, for the most part, most Democratic lawmakers do seem to vote when it comes to trying to pass legislation in line with the values that they run on. It's just, to say the least, frustrating how frequently they're incapable of getting things done. So how now we have someone here in the comments on TikTok who says, left has lost their minds as well. Left wants free handouts and to eliminate working class. Cool. Again, I'm going to address this person right now. This person's name is Smithereens on TikTok. If you think that routinely having domestic terror attacks in the name of a white homeland and ethnically cleansing the country and in the name of white supremacy, murdering people regularly, children, senior citizens, people going to church, if you think that that is as that is the same, that that is as crazy as wanting more benefits for the working class, for us to take care of the working class more, you're absolutely goddamn like, that's so crazy. That's what we're talking about when we say the right has lost its mind, is thinking that those are the same things. Name some domestic terrorist attacks without naming January 6th, says Smithereens. First of all, we can name January 6th. That is one. It's one of the biggest ones. Second of all, it just happened, my guy. Have you been under a rock? 13 people in a black community in Buffalo, New York were just killed by a gunman who wrote a white supremacist manifesto citing replacement theory. It just happened. It just happened. Are you kidding me? This is what I'm talking about. They're not remotely in the same universe of extremism. Okay? You're out of your mind if you think that looking to the government and saying we need to take better care of the poorest people in our community is as crazy as yawning at white supremacist terrorist attacks every other weekend. Jesus Christ. Smithereens just said, in what world is that political? That's white supremacy. Politics have nothing to do with that. Dude. Yeah, all right, cool. All right, we've been hijacked. All right. I'm not going to keep going down this path with this person. Tucker Carlson explains perfectly why it's political. Tucker Carlson, who routinely preaches replacement theory on his incredibly popular show. This is, again, talking about why people with a platform need to be speaking up, is because their people with a platform are speaking up, and they are doing a good job of influencing their audience. Tucker Carlson uses replacement theory in the context of politics, very literally, that the agenda of the political left, the Democratic Party, is to replace white Americans so that they can win elections. That's how it's political. And white supremacists hear that, and they think, I got you loud and clear, Tucker. And then we get what we get. Okay? That's how it works. All right? My goodness. But what I'm saying is, you know, when people... So that goes back to my point of people saying, well, you're not going to change anybody's minds. You know, you're not going to change anyone's minds. I'm definitely not going to change this guy's mind. I'm not going to change Smithereens' mind. But in the same way that somebody like Tucker Carlson, who should be in jail, by the way, he's guilty of murder in at least the same way that Charles Manson is. If Charles Manson can spend his entire life in prison for inspiring murder, then Tucker Carlson is at least that guilty for going on his show and routinely spouting white supremacist talking points and encouraging white supremacist terror attacks. But his show is massively popular, and he galvanizes his audience into action. He doesn't change anybody's mind. He's not changing my mind, and he's not changing anybody that's in my audience's mind. So maybe it's not about changing minds so much as it is about bolstering up our will to act. Encouraging, and so maybe it's more about these creators that we follow, these funny people that we look to be funny every day, these funny people, maybe it's more about them just letting us know that they're on our team too. And that they're with us, and that they're heartbroken like we are. Because I gotta tell you, again, as much as I'm trying not to call these people out, they're my friends, I gotta tell you, sometimes the lack of ability to read the room on days like today, when they're still coming out with just like goofball jokes. And I posted a funny video earlier today. I posted a funny video on Instagram earlier today. I didn't delete it. I didn't take it down. I didn't know about the thing yet. Hadn't heard about it yet. I posted it in the morning. But this has been my day since. And I'm here to tell my audience, like, I'm with you. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off. I'm sad. You know, and I don't know. I don't know. David on YouTube says those without a conscience coincidentally also tend to have no problem speaking as loudly as they can. Bravado changes minds, sadly. And again, maybe it's not changing minds so much as just bolstering up a will to act. I also want to be really clear that I'm not hoping to bolster up a will to act in an equally violent manner. I'm hoping to bolster up a will to act in an equally effective manner, in an equally noticeable manner, in an equally undeniable manner. Because as awful as it is, these, you know, as they're described, mentally ill lone wolf types, they sure do get our attention. God, how about that shit too? That it's just become a script. It's just become a script that we all know. We all know the second it happens. We're like, cool, can't wait to see Tucker Carlson in a day. See a clip of Tucker Carlson talking about how it's a mentally ill lone wolf. And how we shouldn't all, you know, scream and say the sky is falling when just one meant, like, it's a script that is pre-written that plays over and over. Like, it's just so crazy. Smithereens is bad. I'm just going to say this. He didn't answer. Prove Joe the Buffalo Shooter was linked to the Conservative Party. The fact that you actually need me to do that is fucking insane. What do you think? I'm going to ask you. Be honest. You don't have to answer to anyone else in the comments. You really don't have to answer. What do you think that guy's politics are? Be completely honest. Do you think that that guy calls people they and them when they go by they, them pronouns? Do you think that that guy does that? Do you think that that guy has ever marched in a gay pride parade? Be honest. You don't need to answer in the comments. You just ask yourself in your heart, what are the politics of that guy? You know the answer. You know the answer. But you think if I can't show you a document proving that he's a registered voter in the Republican Party, you've made some kind of point. You haven't made a point. You know exactly what that guy's politics are. You know that he's a fan of Tucker Carlson. You know why he's a fan of Tucker Carlson. And you know who that guy voted for in 2016 and 2020. Okay? What a ridiculous thing to say. Prove that he's connected to the Conservative Party. Give me a fucking break. You think that guy's ever flown a Black Lives Matter flag outside of his house? Jesus Christ. You think that guy was concerned about the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade? Really? Honestly? All those things, and he also just happens to be a white supremacist too? Which side of the political spectrum do you think he's on? Just answer it in your heart. Give me a fucking break. Yeah. I've got a dog here, by the way. If you're hearing the dog on the YouTube stream or on, I'm dog sitting for the week. I got to take her on a walk. She's got to go to the bathroom. So we're going to have to wrap it up here. People are like, you can't talk to this guy. It's like, yeah, obviously. But we have been talking about that, about how it's not about changing his mind or about convincing him of anything. He knows he's wrong. Like, he'll lie to himself, you know, probably till the day he dies. But it's not about that. I think that he's made a great example of, like, what we've been talking about. That, like, there is no debate over which side is more extreme. There is no debate over which side is more unmoored from reality. That ship sailed a long time ago. That ship sailed. I mean, if it was in doubt at all, it sailed with Trump, like, thoroughly and well and good. It was like, okay, this side is completely unmoored from reality. There's no debate about that. But this person is helping to illustrate it. So, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, that's it. That's it. I think that's all I kind of have to say. I don't really know that I got to an answer here of, like, whether or not, you know, people with a platform should be using it to speak up at times like this. I don't know. I know that it feels like something that I feel compelled to do when this happens. I feel like okay, hold on. Sorry, as I'm trying to do this, I can't stop but see this guy. He says, since you are too scared to debate me, yeah? God, I love when these people think that, like what do you think's gonna happen? What do you think's gonna happen? Do you think you're gonna say something that, like, I haven't heard? What a that's actually a waste of everybody's time. It might be entertaining. I'm not gonna put it on my podcast, but it might be entertaining. But what a phenomenal waste of everyone's time. Talking to someone who has proven himself to be as incredibly unintelligent as you have. So you won't debate? Are you scared of facts? It's a script, man. It's a script. It's like you're a bot. Like, I'm not sure that you're a human person, to be honest, because you're so, like, everything you're saying is, like, right out of the script. It's crazy. It's so wild how programmed your brains are. The people on your team, man, you guys have, like, such a rote line of things that you say over and over and over again. And we all see them so many times. It's so weird. It's so weird how consistently you all stay right inside the box of the exact thing that you're supposed to say. Scared of facts? Scared to debate? Roll Tide. Oh, so what? Scared of facts because your feelings are going to get hurt, Snowflake? It's, like, so uninventive. Yeah. Somebody on YouTube was like, oh, gods, the debate me bros. You know how many times I actually have taken up these people on their offer, and I just say, you can name the topic, you can name the time and place, and we can debate whatever you want. We can debate and, you know, whatever you want. I'm so profoundly unafraid of losing a debate to someone like you. What I think will happen, in fact, what I'm almost certain will happen if I invite you to come talk to me right now is I'm going to be thoroughly more eloquent than you and have much, much, much more reasonable positions than you. You're not going to listen to a single thing I say. You're going to talk over me a lot, and you're going to topic dump and move the goalposts constantly. Every time I make a point that you can't contend with, you're going to switch the topic to something else and say, let's talk about this instead. Right? So we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Okay? Not today. You actually don't get access to this platform today. You've gotten too much of it already. All right? You've been very lucky. that I've given you the amount of time that I have. Because you know what it actually is you don't get to come in here and call the shots. Okay? Nobody in the world is afraid of you. Nobody. You're just uninteresting and unoriginal and uninventive and too unintelligent to give the time to. Okay? All right. Whew. Can you tell I'm emotional? Audience. What a day, huh? What a weird thing that we live in a country where this has to be a debate, where this has to be a conversation, where we have to figure out what we should do about kids routinely getting killed at school. That's disgusting and awful, and I don't really have a lot of hope to shine on it today. I'm trying to be in solidarity with you. I'm trying to share in your frustration and your sorrow, and I don't know, and just kind of talk about, like, What is the onus of people with a platform? I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that I'm mutuals with on Instagram or TikTok or somewhere who will see this YouTube video or hear this podcast and go, you know what? Maybe I should speak up more. Maybe we could use a few more voices. I don't know. Like, I can only say things the way that I can say them, but, like, many hands make light work, you know? Maybe more perspectives is good. So, yeah. People Pleaser, it's back, baby. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find my music by going to austin-archer.com or by going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. My music is also on Spotify and Apple Music. Okay? All right? We're back, dude. I don't know if we're going to be back on a weekly basis. I don't have any guests lined up, but maybe it'll just be me for a little bit. I've been missing doing this. Okay? Thanks for coming out to the live. Thanks for coming to the live stream on YouTube, on TikTok. Catch the podcast, okay? We're getting back into it. Write your legislators, donate if you can. See if there's a march near you. Something you can do. I don't know. Let me know. Hit me up. Let me know what you think about the conversation. Let me know if you think that more people should be speaking up, or if it's okay for people to stay inside their brand and their niche. Because again, I get it. I do get it. But I just feel like sometimes the jokes on days like today are tough to take. Yeah, love you. Good to be back. We'll see you next week. Maybe. Hopefully. Bye-bye.